We've been having a wonderful time teaching about the inner man and outward man and the model that Paul gives us to see ourselves and breaking down in detail what it means to be born again. I want to start over in John chapter 3 today, and I'm going to go into some very difficult explanations in the next few sessions about the soul and what it really means. And I know much of the church world, you know, lives by the soul is the mind, will, and emotions. But that's kind of like the lowest understanding of what the soul is. The mind, will, and emotions is a simplistic way to understand it. And I want to go to a deeper understanding of that. But before we do, we want to set the picture for that. So we're going to go in John chapter 3. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher, come from God, for no one could do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now Nicodemus knew right then that the picture that Jesus was saying, being born again, wasn't just a saying, it was actually a description. And it wasn't a saying that said, yeah, you just sign your name on the dotted line. I used to go to the bar, and now I signed up for the church. Instead of being in the bar Friday night and Saturday night, I'm in the church Sunday morning and Wednesday night in the prayer meetings. Nicodemus knew he wasn't saying join a club, join a religion, because his question to Jesus exposes that he understood Jesus to mean this was not a symbolism, a symbolic act. This was an actual change, an actual birthing of a new creature, a new person. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So now you can see that there was a puzzle by this question. What do you mean be born again? Does a man go back to his mother to be born a second time? Like, there's no earthly way to understand this. This was a miracle, an impossibility that Jesus was saying that if you're going to go into the kingdom of God, you must be born into it. It's not a signing up to join the club. It's an actual birthing. The only way to get into to heaven is to be in the family of God. Not just accepted, not adopted, birthed into the family of God. So that picture was puzzling to Nicodemus. I don't understand. Like, what do you mean? How can an old man be born again in his mother's womb? And Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So to be born of water and spirit. Now, the water here represents your first birth. That when Christy was pregnant with Harrison on her birthday, April 18th, she got up early in the morning and said, I think my water just broke. We went to the hospital, and sure enough, she was in labor with a healthy boy. And so all humans come through women. Every human on earth has come from a woman, from the womb of a woman. And in that womb is a water. And that's what Jesus was saying, that you must first be born of water, because God doesn't make people. God doesn't make Christians out of nothing. There's no one born a Christian. You have to first come into existence by the will of man, by Adam's seed. You must first come into existence that way. And then once a child is conceived, the moment of conception, that child is going to live for the rest of eternity. They'll never stop existing. When a child is conceived, that's the power that God gave to Adam as a seed, the ability to procreate, to make people that never existed. Christy and I, we made two creatures, Harrison and Ava. We decided, we acted, and we created two creatures that never existed before. And we brought them into existence, and now they are going to live for the rest of eternity. And they're both born again, praise God, so we get to spend eternity with them in heaven, or in the new earth. So they must be born of water, so they must have their first birth, and then born of spirit. That is your rebirth. That's why we use the terminology born again. You're born the first time to your earthly parents. You're born the second time to your heavenly father. You're actually birthed and born again. It's a very impossible thing to imagine until you understand salvation. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So you wouldn't be in existence without your parents on this earth. God doesn't make people. He can only make Christians out of Adam's family. It's the ultimate stealing of people. He outreaches into Adam's family to be born again into his family. That's when you're born of the Spirit. Let's go to, hold your finger there, we'll come back. But 1 John chapter 5. Oh, we'll start in verse 6. Talking about Jesus. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness because of this, the Spirit of truth. So Jesus came by water, and not only of water, but water and blood. Verse 7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. And verse 8, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. So we hear this terminology, the water, the blood, and the Spirit. Now for Jesus, the three things that he qualified for to bear witness that he was the Savior, the Son of God sent to earth. First, he was born of water. He had to be born of a woman. The water had to break and he had to come forth. And that's what it means by water. That's the first witness that he was legally able to be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lamb of God, was that he was born first of water from a woman. He was born into the human race. He was found in the human race and born in the human race. The second thing, blood, was he was had the blood of an Israeli. He was born with his mom being in the lineage from Adam through Abraham. He had the lineage in his blood. He was born of the Jewish family. That was part that legally proved that he was the Son of God, the Son of Man, and the Lamb of God. And finally, the Spirit. The third witness was the Spirit. He had the nature of God in him. His inner man was lit up in light while his outward man was of Mary. He got his nature from God and his inner man from God, but his outward man came from Mary. He didn't look like Joseph, his supposed father. He would have looked like Mary because that's where he got his outward body from. And that was the witness that he could legally be our Savior, legally be born into the human race, the family of Israel with a born-again, lit-up nature of God. That was Jesus. That was the three witnesses to prove that he was legally the Son of God, the Son of Man, and the Lamb of God for us. Let me give you a fun verse here, just while we're on this. I wasn't going to teach on this, but let's go there anyway, just for fun. John chapter 16. This is one of the verses that I like to preach. I can't really teach it, but it's fun to see that there's maybe a real strong revelation in these verses. Verse 19, John 16, verse 19. We're still going back to John 3, but John 16, verse 19. Now, Jesus knew they were desiring to ask him, and he said to them, Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you'll see not see me. And again, a little while, you will see me. Verse 20. Most assuredly, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Verse 21. A woman when she's in labor. Now, it's interesting because these disciples are all men here, hairy-legged men. And he uses an example of a woman in labor, something they never experienced, never really could understand. I know I like to make fun when people say about how was labor with our kids. Oh, it was easy. I just sat there, no problem. You know, my wife went through all the labor, not me, but I take credit for it. We really, as men, can't comprehend anything a woman goes through in that area, for sure. But he uses a woman in labor as an example for them. And in here, I believe there is a really beautiful revelation that I'm still don't have the full picture of, but I want to share it with you anyway, just for fun today. Verse 21, a woman when she's in labor has sorrow because her hour has come. Now remember, they're going about to go through an experience where they're going to be sorrowful, and they're in sorrow because Jesus was leaving. Well, he's comparing this as being as similar to a woman in labor. She's in sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she's given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being was being born into the world. So the comparison is a woman giving birth to a child. Now, see, when a woman creates a child in her, it's a miracle. We don't even know, no one knows how it really happens. But a baby's formed in her womb, and then she gives birth, and it's a separate human being. It's a separate person. It's no longer, it came from her, but it's no longer her. It's a different person. Let me say that again so you can kind of get where I'm going with this. It was created inside of her. It formed in her. She gave birth to this child. And now it's no longer her. It's a whole different person. It's not her anymore. It was her. Now it's not her. And Jesus uses this example, verse 21, a woman when she's in labor has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she's given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being is born into the world. So that's the picture he's saying that's going to make them happy. And then he says, therefore you now have sorrow like a woman in labor. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So he's saying, in that day, in the day that you're born again, so in the day that you're born again, you'll ask me nothing. You no longer have to come to me to talk to God the Father, because God will be your Father. You'll be birthed of God. You can go directly to God by yourself because he is your Father. You're born of him. So I believe there is a beautiful picture in here, a beautiful revelation of salvation, that when I was born again, a new child was birthed out of me, a whole different person. And that's the new me. That is the new me. God birthed me miraculously of the Spirit. It really helps expose the inner man and outward man. That even though I'm still here in this body, the body is no longer me. The outward man is no longer me. I'm a new person, a whole different person, birthed and created of God the moment I was saved. I'm still connected to this outward body that is old Alan, that has not yet died. Now, that's my concern with the spirit, soul, and body picture. Spirit, soul, and body picture says, I have a spirit that's complete of God. I have an outward body that is a glove that just sits on top of the spirit. And then I have my soul that was not fixed when I was saved. And now I have to retrain my soul to think like God, to love like God, to act like God, And that's the picture from the spirit, soul, and body. But the inner man, outer man picture is I have a new inner man that's completely born of God with its own mind, will, and emotions, its own soul. I remember Pastor Dave was teaching about the Lazarus, the poor man Lazarus that went to paradise and the rich man that went to hell. We'll get back to there, I'm sure, soon. And he's talking about how the rich man had emotions in hell and feelings and thought. He said, oh, there's a soul in there. See, your spiritual man has a soul, and your outward man has a soul, and they're connected as one. At birth, they grow together. They're connected as one, mind, will, and emotions. But yet, when you're born again, your inner man was birthed of God, brand new, of righteousness and light. Your inner man and his soul, it's like another a baby came forward from you, not because of you, but a baby. God brought a baby forth, and that's you, the new baby born of God. And now you have the right and the ability to walk with God from that new man, while you're still struggling and wearing the old man with his mind, will, and emotions. And we're going to get into some things, some really difficult things to explain. I'm going to do my best and to try to show you the picture that I've seen and the script, use the scripture to show you the picture I believe is there about who you really are in God. You have a new nature, and that new nature brought to life your inner man. And here we're going to read, again, I'm over in John chapter 3 again. Verse 5, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water, that's your first birth, and born of spirit, that's your born again nature, born again of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. I told you the joke the other day that what's the only thing that a female elephant could make that no other creature can make? And the people guessed tusks and milk and trunks. But there's other creatures that have those things. And the answer was a baby elephant. See, every species can only create after its own kind. So that's why when you were born the first time, you were born of the seed of Adam. So you came out just like Adam with his nature of sin. And God couldn't fix the human race. He couldn't repair it. He had to rescue us out of the human race by creating a whole new species, a species of righteous children of God that you could be born into when you accepted salvation. Salvation was an absolute miracle. I'm excited about blind eyes and deaf ears and emptying wheelchairs. Those are great miracles. But the greatest miracle that we should be focused on, above all, is that someone gets born again. Because that's an absolute miracle. They went from being born of one species, a species of darkness, and being born again into another species, a species of light. And we're seeing pictures here. When you see the inner man and outer man, you begin to see how this took place. That first, your inner man must be born again. You receive the new nature, and it brought to life your inner body. The inner body has a mind, emotions, and desires. It's been born of light, but you're still wearing the other species, the species of Adam. How different is the species of Adam from the species of the children of God? As different is from light from darkness. There's no comparison. Yet, in most Christianity, you find people trying to shine up, fix up, dress up their outward man of darkness, repair it, make it act like Jesus, look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, love like Jesus, and leaving their inner man, which is born like Jesus, is born of his nature, and leaving it alone. They're not praying or seeking God or worshiping. They're busy doing the kingdom of God. They remain as carnal Christians doing the work of God. But the work of God that they're doing is accomplished by their flesh, their outward man, in the name of God. But there's a beautiful pathway, a life-altering pathway, a miracle pathway available to you as a born-again believer, where you can begin to develop that inner man, which is from God, and learn the truth of God Himself, love in the same love that Jesus had, know God intimately, and walk in the authority that Jesus walked in. Or you can live the boring life. You're part of the, I would say, the path least walked on right now that you're listening to me. That it's a path that few people hunger enough to get to and are willing to pay the price to live it out, because then you have to fight your outward man. So Jesus says in verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and nothing of the flesh is of God. Nothing of the flesh is of God. The image of God, you hear many people say, well, man was made in the image of God, and I was made in the image of God. You were made in the image of God. And they try to comfort people. You know, you're not broken. You're just made in the image of God. And then it gets even twisted to where people who are really broken say, God made me this way, so why would I try to change? And really, the image of God in the human race stopped the moment Adam sinned. He made Adam in the image of God and took Eve out of Adam. They were in the image of God until they sinned. And the moment they sinned, the image of God stopped in the human race. And all of us come from Adam, not from God. So you're not made in the image of God. I'm not made in the image of God. In our first birth, we're made in the image of Adam, in the image of this world, this human race. But the day you got born again, a miracle of miracles happened. He began a process of completely taking you from darkness, a species of darkness, and taking you into being a complete species of light, a child of God. Where in the end, when we're standing on the new earth, with our tippy toes on the new earth and the new universes around us, we'll be completely spirit, soul, and body, completed completely of God. There'll be nothing of Adam left in us, nothing of our first birth. It's a miracle that God could do that for us. I think it took more of God's, if it's even possible, his mental focus to make it possible for us to be born again than it took for him to design and bring forth the whole universe and all of its parts and pieces. Because it is an amazing miracle that you're born again doesn't finish until you get the new body. It's not done yet. Your salvation isn't complete yet until the trumpet sounds. Until then, you're in a battle because your inner man was born of God, of the Spirit, while your outward man, the flesh, was left in darkness. And that's where you find all your struggles, temptations, brokenness. So many people think, I'm just a failure, I'm a loser, I have this problem, I have that problem, I have this wrong desire, and I'm trying to fix it. The scripture is not to fix the outward man, it is to mortify the deeds of the outward man. Fixing means I'm repairing, I'm rebuilding something. Mortifying means I'm taking a knife and I'm taking it and killing something. I'm murdering it. I'm killing it. It's dying. And so if you are living by the model, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body, then you're always struggling to make that soul, mind, will, and emotions, think like God, receive God, act like God. And let me just tell you, every day you're going to feel a failure because you're trying to fix something that can't be fixed. You're trying to train something to be what it can't be. There was a couple of scientists, I don't know the whole story, but basically they worked with a lot of monkeys, they love monkeys, and they gave birth to a little boy, a human boy, they gave birth to it. Well, they had this idea, I think they thought that if they raised a monkey, a baby monkey alongside of a baby boy, that the baby monkey would begin to evolve and have the ability to do everything the little boy could do, or at least go further along the way. So they raised the two like brothers, had them in the crib with each other, played with each other. And when they were little, it was pretty similar. In fact, the monkey was more advanced than the boy. And then once the boy got to be about a year old and a year and a half old, they got concerned because the boy was acting more like the monkey than the monkey was the boy. And especially when the boy began to speak and the monkey had no ability to go there. It could not go there because it was a monkey. It was not the same species. That species of a monkey was incapable of loving like a human, talking like a human, thinking like a human. Even the smartest monkey is not as smart as the lowest IQ human. And so they abandoned the whole thing before the boy was two and had to get rid of the monkey because it was obvious that their plan didn't work. Well, that's how I think of many people in the carnal Christianity. They're trying to train the outward man to think like Christ, to love like Christ. They're trying to fix the soul of the outward man when really we're not supposed to fix that soul. That outward soul can never think like God, love like God, because it is not from God. It's from Adam. It has a limit of humanity in it. Whereas your inner man has been birthed of God, and it has the capacity to go as far into God as Jesus did, because it's from that same nature that you came to life, and that inner man was brought to life. That new man now has the ability to think, feel, and desire only the holy, righteous things of God. So I see many Christians striving to fix their soul and make their outward man think, the soul of their outward man, feel and love like Jesus. And you're always going to fall short. You're always going to feel like a failure. You'll never make it because it's incapable. The outward man is incapable of loving like Jesus, thinking like Jesus. But your inner man, the spirit man, was born of God. Your outward man was born of Adam. And you're going to be stuck with it till the day you die or until the day the trumpet sounds. Day the trumpet sounds, you get a new outward body. And in that body is going to be the soul of the outward man, a mind of righteousness, a heart of righteousness where you can love. You'll no longer struggle, and the desires of the outward soul will only be for the things of God. I'm getting ahead of myself because we're going to get into all that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm giving you lots today, but we're about to go into a few really detailed sessions about the soul, inward soul, outward soul. One time I preached, just like what Pastor Dave said, I said, we've got two souls we got to deal with, the outward man's soul and the inner man's soul. And I got a letter from a lady. I don't know what you're saying. We just got one soul that God's trying to save. What's this two soul stuff? And y'all, I had to write her back and say, listen, this is not a one page answer. This is 20 years of learning and understanding before you can really see it. You have to really be determined to learn this. I can't just give you the one. But that letter helped me to realize, oh, we use the same word soul for us, for me, the part of me that God's trying to save. The part of me that God's doing all this work for isn't my mind, will, and emotion soul. It's for me, the soul of Alan, my life existence. So that's what he's actually rebuilding everything around me and saving me. I like to use the example of a plane flies over this island and they see the famous SOS spelled out there, save our souls. And so they send in the ships, the ship come in, the sailors come in and with the boat, and they hit the shore, and this man comes out. He's got a big beard and hair's a mess, and he's skinny. He goes, oh, thank God you're here. Yeah, we saw you save our souls, so we're here to rescue you. He said, oh, thank God, I've been going crazy. Which one of you is a psychiatrist? They said, what do you mean? We're sailors. We're not psychiatrists. Well, I want, when I said save our souls, I'm very happy here. Me and my wife are been here 20 years. We love it, but my wife is driving me crazy and I need help with my soul, my mind, will, and emotions. I needed a psychiatrist to save my soul, mind, will, and emotions. So even our English word soul can mean our mind, will, and emotions, or it can also mean me, save me, help rescue my life. So when I said we have two souls, I was talking about the inner man has a soul, the outward man has a soul. And the inner man's soul, if you're born again, is of light and righteousness. The outward man's soul is of darkness. That lady, I don't know if she's still listening to me at all these years later, but it wasn't a one-time answer. But it helped me to see that we also use soul for us. We're going to get into all that later on. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's see here. Let's start in verse 35. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and what body do they come? Foolish ones, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow the body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and so each seed, and to each seed its own body. So Paul's beginning to describe a mystery to the people about the resurrection in the end when we receive the new outward body. And he's trying to tell them that the body they're wearing is not the body they're going to have forever. There is a resurrection of the dead, and there is a, we are given a new outward body. And he says, each seed has its own body. If you plant wheat into the ground, it's going to bring forth the body of wheat, and it will have seed of wheat on the end of that stalk, because every seed brings forth its own body. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and each seed its own body. So each seed, every plant, every seed produces its own body. In your first birth, from the seed of Adam, you were given the body of a human, a body of Adam's family, and it was of darkness. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of animals, another a fish, another a bird. So a bird has feathers, a fish has scales, and they produce after their own kind. So what can a female elephant bring forth that no other creature can? A female or a baby elephant. Because every seed produces only after its own kind. And this is quite the, explains partly the miracle of salvation, that you were born of one species and God birthed you in another species. And the job's not done yet because you're still wearing the body from the first seed, your first birth. And the body isn't just the skin, it's not a glove. It has its own mind, emotions, and desires. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of animals, another fish, other birds. Then he says there's also a celestial body or a heavenly body made of heavenly material, and a terrestrial body, an earthly body made of earthly material, of dirt. That's the body from Adam. This earthly body that I'm wearing, somehow the cow eats the grass. And then I eat the cow, and I it builds skin and hair and bones. What I eat from this earth, everything above the earth has come from beneath the earth. So everything I eat, everything I do has come from the earth. The minerals of the earth are now in my body because I ate it, and now it has built me a body. After my first birth. That's my terrestrial body. But there's another body he talks about that is going to replace this outward terrestrial body. And that is the celestial body, the eternal body. The replacement for my outward body will be an eternal body made of a material like flesh, but not from this earth, a celestial body. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, that's this outward man. If you want to know God's nicknames for your outward man, the outward body, mind, will, and emotion, it's quite comical what he says about your outward body. The outward man, the old man, here it is. So also in the resurrection of the dead, the body is sown in corruption. So he calls your outward man corruption, and your new body that you'll be given is raised in incorruption. So it's an incorruptible outward body. It's not talking about your inner man. It's not talking about your spiritual man here. He's talking about the new body you're going to get at the sound of the trumpet. It is sown in dishonor. So the outward body that you're wearing, the outward man, old Alan, from the first birth, he is known, nicknamed dishonorable by God. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. So God says, Alan is weak. Old man Alan from the first birth is weakness, but is raised in power. This new body we're going to get is going to be amazing. It is sown a natural body, that, but is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Talking about the outward man. Right now you're wearing the natural man with his mind, will, and emotions and desires, and it's of the first seed of Adam, your first birth. God did not fix it yet. He did not replace it yet. But he did replace your inner man with a new inner man, with a new nature. So your inner man is of God, but your outward man still of Adam. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. You have to first be born of the water so that you had a, you came into existence, and then he can make you a spiritual creature. Let's see, where am I? I'm going to go back to verse 44. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Talking about our outward man being replaced at the sound of the trumpet. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a life living being, and the last Adam, Jesus, became a life giving spirit. He gave life to your spirit, gave you a new nature. A life-given spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is a heavenly man, also are those who are heavenly. So this is describing, Paul's doing a very complex answer to a really hard question. How are we raised from the dead? Well, he raises you, but he gives you a new outward body. He doesn't fix this dust, terrestrial, earthly body. He's replacing it the same way he replaced your new nature and replaced your inner man. As was the man of dust, so also those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also those who are heavenly. And as we have been born the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. I love this. So as we were born by our first birth and given this outward body, and see, when you're born as a baby from Adam, you have an inner body, but it's of darkness, and you have an outward body of darkness, and they're joined together. When we talk about the body, unless it's specific, it's really talking about the mind, will, and emotions, the soul that's inside of the body. And you always had the inner man and outward man. In Luke, when we read about Lazarus and the rich man, you see that in hell, unsaved, the rich man had a spiritual mind, will, and emotions in his spiritual body. Well, his outward body was left on this earth. So it was always there, but your inner man got born again, and your outward man was left in darkness. And there'll be a day when the trumpet sounds that you'll get a new outward body with its mind, will, and emotions, and you'll no longer have anything left of Adam, the first birth in your life. And as we have borne the image of man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So you're born the first time of the man of dust, of Adam. But now that you're born again of God, you can actually bring forth the image of Christ in your outward man, in the heavenly man, when the trumpet sounds. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. God's not going to bring anything of your outward man to heaven, to eternity. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality. So when the corruption has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So Christianity isn't finished yet until this trumpet sounds and death stops. That's the final victory of Jesus, that death is finished. And we put on this corruptible outward man is going to be replaced with an incorruptible body of heavenly material that will be my outward man forever. But you don't need to wait, because your inner man has already been redeemed. Now you have an inner man already with its mind, will, and emotions already birthed and come forth from you when you ask Jesus in your heart. You are a whole new creature. You don't need to wrestle with the outward soul and try to fix it. You need to wrestle with the outward soul and then mortify it. Oh, I'm preaching good now. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality. So I'm laying a good foundation, I believe, for the next sessions, where we're going to get into what is a soul. A little more complex than just it's a mind, will, and emotions. And we're going to talk about how the outward soul fights against the inward man's soul. But when you realize my inward man has its own soul made of God, there's hope for you. You're no longer trying to fix brokenness. You're trying to get rid of brokenness. You're no longer trying to train your natural mind to think like God when it never can think like God, because it's a different species. But your inner man is born of God. It has the ability to understand great, incredible, ancient truths, because that's who you are now that you are a child of God. I'm going to pause there so I don't bore you to death. I'm really excited about this. A little nervous because it's complex, but excited because if you see this, once you see this, changes the way you live your Christianity. It makes you understand why it's so important to pray in tongues, worship God, read your word, why it's so important to spend that time with God. Because your inner man of God, that's all it wants. All it desires is God's will for you, God's word, God's presence. And it'll bring forth a love, a peace, a joy that's not of this world. And it'll be brought forth in you as you keep spending time with Him. Thank you again for spending time with me. I love you, and I believe in you, and I'll see you soon. God bless.